Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Sheriff Joe Lombardo of Clark County running for governor, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Sheriff Joe Lombardo of Clark County. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's the first time.
My apologies. We should have invited you before.
No, you did. You did. Schedule conflicts. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Sam.
Well, let me introduce you, because there's certainly a lot of folks in Northern Nevada that may not really be aware of you. You served in the Army National Guard and Army Reserve, 30 years and plus in law enforcement, 26 years at Metro. You became Sheriff of Clark County 7 years ago. You have an MS in crisis management. First question, why did you get in this race?
Well, the MS in crisis management right there, that's one of the key components. You know, that's probably the most common question is asked of a candidate when they decide to enter a race. And in my opinion, this is a perfect opportunity to continue to affect change. You mentioned my police career and all the time I've been a police officer and dealt with crisis along the way. And in the current administration here at the state and my ability to manage crisis through my history of being a police officer the proof is in the pudding in that aspect. I mean, the tax environment that is going to be very important for the diversity of the economy here and the support for the police and single party rule. That's the issues that I'm concerned with and the reason why I'm getting into the race. I believe I could do a much better job than the current administration.
All right, let's go through some things here. And because you don't have a political history, I need to ask you about your law enforcement history, okay?
Right.
I think people need to get a sense of who you are that they're not going to get from a 30-second commercial. So everybody, nationwide, perhaps worldwide, are familiar with the events of October 1st, 2017, the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. Stephen Paddock fired from the 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay more than 1,000 bullets, killed 60, wounded 411, and in the panic, the total number of injured was 867. Deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. How did that change you?
Well, first and foremost, it was under my watch. So it's a troublesome event on that. And you go back 1,000 times, 10,000 times, say, what could we have done different? How could we have prevented it? And unfortunately, this is one of those one-off events where there was no intelligence received, there was no warning, no threat associated with this individual or knowledge of this individual. And the question was, how did it change me? It was I guess the most important piece on that, you can't think of everything, you can't what if everything, you can't prevent everything, but how you can address it is how you respond to it. And I'm very proud of my police department's response to that critical incident, you know, and the timeliness to prevent further carnage. And I firmly believe him knowing that we were at the doorway is the reason why he took his own life. And, you know, upon entry of the room, we discover an excess of over 4,000 rounds still available to this individual with multiple guns. So he could have continued his carnage for quite some time. So back up, how's it changed me is you have to be aware. You can't internalize it. You can't personalize it. It isn't your fault. But you have to be comfortable within your own skin knowing you did everything to prevent it. And if you couldn't prevent it, that you did everything and trained your employees and your first responders to respond to it appropriately and minimize the threat, cease the threat.
It seems to me that there are two people that are involved in this in one body. One is you as a law officer and dealing with, as you just went through that list of critical things to look at, to not obviously take responsibility personally for the events because there was no way of knowing. But as a human being, as a father, as a husband, I'm sure you went to the hospitals and you saw those people, you talked to them. How did that affect you emotionally? Because there's usually an emotional response after the
fact. There's an emotional response. And, you know, in my role as the head of the agency and the face to the public, to the nation, I had to keep my, you know, tie tight and ensure that I was bringing that air of confidence to the nation, and we have addressed all the ancillary items that we would be concerned with. Was there additional players? Is there an additional threat? Have we discontinued some terrorist cell that might still be prevalent? So all those things are continually to go through your mind, and you have to come out with a forward leaning face, you know, of confidence for the public that, hey, you're the guy, we're taking care of business and you're going to be safe. And that's a big part of my campaign for governor, is to provide that air of and feeling of safety for the state to and tune is part and parcel to the economy. People aren't going to bring their businesses or their employees or their families, and they're not going to put roots into the state of Nevada if they don't feel that it's a safe place to be. But Sam, let me back up a little bit on that. When you ask, well, how does it make me feel? Well, I think it built some character. I honestly believe that it helped me understand the needs of the community, because I've said this more than once, it's brought the community of Las Vegas together more than any other event. You know, people say the Golden Knights or the Raiders and all that stuff. No, nothing brings people together more than a crisis. And we became a real community as a result of that.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I happened to be in Las Vegas the week after that, taping shows, and just talking to people on the street and talking to people in stores. It had become a complete community in a way that I'd never really seen it before.
And then to build on that too, Sam, and I apologize if I'm disrupting your flow there.
So here's the deal. We have a long way to go before the primary, and you're welcome to come here as many times as you want.
Okay.
So you can take as much time as you want to answer.
I think the frustrating piece on this incident and other police chiefs and executives have experienced this similar type actions and across the nation, whatever is indigenous to where they're responsible. But all the conspiracy theories and all the naysaying and all the negative attitudes that come from a crisis and that I'm concealing stuff and the FBI neutered me in response to that, that's all false. That's absolutely false. And I am concealing the reasons why the event took place. And that's troublesome to me. And if I knew, I would tell you upmost, forward-leaning, this is the reason why, and this is how we're going to protect ourselves into the future.
All right, so let me ask you about that, because obviously every property on the Strip had been concerned about security all the time. I mean, whether it's discussed in public or not, security departments at every hotel, casino, Metro has special divisions that are just for the Strip.
Right, right.
What changes have been made since then to hopefully prevent something like this happening again, where somebody locks himself in a room but has multiple bags of weapons being transported right through the hotel, and no signals went off.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be malpractice if you didn't do something as a result of a critical incident, right? And you didn't adjust the way you do business, or you address it, or try to prevent it. And unfortunately, but fortunately, Vegas and the state of Nevada as a whole has been a hospitality, come one, come all. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, you know, the slogan that goes along with it. Unfortunately, security and personal safety was waning as a result of that. We didn't question you, you know, especially if you were a whale or a mini whale that this individual has been described as. They left you alone. But as a result of that incident, now security is not a lost leader in a budget anymore. They're perceived as a benefit versus a hindrance in the hospitality industry. And your tourists now appreciate the security profile versus before. They say, hey, stay out of our way. We're just here to enjoy ourselves and do what we do. But now they look for security. They want to have that sense of safety when they frequent a location or a place, and that's the significant change in that. And so what changed in the security profile? Well, they're more comprehensive in the evaluation of the customers. They do bag checks, you know, in back of house with the customers. I hate to use the word profile, but they take a critical look at individuals coming in and out of their establishments. And then in the hotel room space, they ensure that they have visual room checks of rooms on a regular basis, on a shortened period of time. Quite often, if a person had a do not disturb on their door for several days, nobody would disturb them. But now they force themselves onto those rooms and do a visual check and ensure that nothing nefarious is taking place. And their surveillance systems, they become twofold and robust. People need to know when you come to Vegas, there's a blanket of security that's brought upon you with your visit, to include the Reno area. The profile of those casinos have gone the same direction, and hopefully people feel comfortable now.
Paddock had 14 AR-15s, 12 of which were capable of taking 100-round magazines. You've talked about, you know, you're strong in favor of the Second Amendment, but you've also talked about in published articles about the fact that police officers only have a second to a second and a half between somebody reloading to be able to respond.
Right.
How do those two things play out?
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, right? And I have a different perspective. First of all, I haven't published any articles. I've made some comments in some.
Right.
Articles.
No. I didn't. No. When I say published articles, I mean that I read a lot of things, and these are things I've read in preparation for this interview.
So that's an interesting dynamic that you bring up, because I have a little bit different perspective than most people because of my career in law enforcement and encountering people that are intending to commit ill will against other individuals in critical incidents and crisis. And 1 October is a perfect example. This individual, the reason why he had so many weapons up there is because the barrels get hot when you fire so many rounds through a barrel, and he had no desire to change. I'm surmising this, I'm theorizing this based on his layout and his MO in the room. And so instead of changing magazines and taking the time to do that, he would just change weapons and to prevent the overheating of the barrels and blah, blah, blah. But the question is this high-capacity magazine issue. And yeah, I've opined on that a couple times. And I was presented, what would you do if you could in the gun control space? And, you know, I didn't say I was going to bring legislation forward. I have no intention of bringing legislation forward to address this particular issue. But I just didn't understand the need for greater than the manufactured, issued standard magazines for weaponry. And that's from my personal perspective. I couldn't understand the need. And then the argument on the other space, well, recreational firearm owners, people, personal protection. Yeah, I understand all that. But law enforcement has that little sliver of ability, you know, if they are out armed to address an individual and an assailant during the exchange of a magazine. And quite often that is the one sliver that we are able to address this individual and take them into the custody.
Okay, so just playing devil's advocate, that second or second and a half that that officer has, on the other side of that, that they could be killed in that exchange.
What do you mean?
That if the officer was not able to respond, I mean, you're talking a second or a second and a half for them to be able to get in there and take out an assailant.
Right.
That's all the time they have. And that
right.
would be what the opposition would say to you.
Oh, you're confusing me on that.
Okay, so. I guess I'm just trying to get to the point. You know, you basically say in everything that I've read
right.
that you're not for any form of gun control or limitation on magazines.
Right.
And yet, at the same time, you say that an officer only has a second to a second and
no,
a half.
No, so
to be
I understand what direction you're going. No, I have said that. I said I don't understand the need for a high-capacity magazine. Quite often, that's the only chance an officer has the ability to address this individual
so
by the exchange
the need
of
for it. Okay.
I don't understand the need for it. Okay, but am
but
I going to...
you don't want to regulate it.
I have no intention of regulating it nor addressing it.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll change topics right after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on 2 floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sheriff Joe Lombardo. He is running for governor of the state of Nevada. Just one last thing on the Harvest Music Festival shootings. After the incident, you stood there with Steve Sisolak, who at the time was chairman of the Clark County Commission, and you were one unit talking to the people of Las Vegas and the public, and now you're running against him for governor. There are a lot of people going, how do those two pictures match up?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting, I wouldn't describe it as a dilemma, but it's an interesting theory that people have. It was a professional relationship. He's the chair of the county commission. You know, post a critical incident, it requires an extensive amount of resources to address, to investigate, to recover, and get back on your feet as an economy and as a business and as a community. And he thought it was important to be there to show his support for the police department and to garner any resources that we could bring to bear to the issue. And his position as the chair of the county commission to bring those resources forward, either by the state or even the feds in that space. And it's nothing more than that. There's nothing to be read into that. There's nothing nefarious with that. It was a professional working relationship. Now, running for governor has nothing to do with that. It is my belief on policies and procedures and everything else as the state has done, and I don't believe that Steve Sisolak's done a good job in that. And so people say, well, you guys are a friend. You're a stalking horse for Steve Sisolak. That's absolutely false. I have some other things I could be doing other than stalking horse for Steve Sisolak. But what I want to do is run the state, and I think I can do a better job. And so that's completely separate in anything as far as a professional relationship. Now, as far as a personal relationship with Steve Sisolak, I have none. I've not gone out to dinner with him. I've not broken bread with him. I don't even know where he lives, to tell you the truth. So,
well, you're the sheriff. I think you're
probably fine. Well, I have a good sense of where he lives, but I've never been to his house.
I got you. there were a lot of people in the business community in the state of Nevada that picked Steve Sisolak as the person to support because they thought he would be friendly to the business community. And it turned out that a lot of them are disappointed with their decision at that time. And so my question to you is, who will you be listening to in the business community to guide you if you're elected governor?
Well, the business community. All the people that Steve Sisolak listened to, I'll be listening to, and I have been listening to, and I had discussions with here during this process of running for governor. It's unfortunate that he was persona non grata after being elected, and a lot of that is endemic to the labor associated with the state. You know, there's the majority of the labor is non-union, but a portion of it is, and a lot of people quite often mention the culinary union in that dynamic, and the culinary union calling the shots associated with everything to do with the state of Nevada, in particular to the casino industry. That is not in my portfolio. Every candidate wants support across the board, but you got to look at what's more important for the state and what's the best for the state versus your own personal campaign. And you know, I use this term quite often, pandering for votes. You got to remove yourself as a head of an agency and, you know, a leader of a state to do what's best for the entire community versus a particular demographic.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back with Sheriff Joe Lombardo running for governor after this.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sheriff Joe Lombardo. He is running for governor on the Republican side. Surprising to read how many of your cops are not vaccinated. How do you explain that?
Well, you know, it comes down to personal belief, right? And whether you feel that the government is telling the truth, whether you're educated enough on all the issues and something that you're injecting into your body, whether you're willing to deal with that or take the chances with it. And nothing's absolute. And granted, I'm vaccinated, I support vaccines, but do I support mandates and force it upon individuals? No, I do not. So what we do is, the best we can is to educate them on all the true science associated with the vaccine and the benefit to their families, whether good or bad or indifferent, and have them make that decision. I believe adults are in a space where their personal safety or their personal beliefs come to play with things like vaccines, and I leave it up to them to make that decision. What I do as the head of the agency and the head of administrator is try to provide them all the information associated with whatever it may be and the accuracy of that information and ensure that they're educated before they make that decision. But unfortunately, some folks have made the decision not to get the vaccine and they've lost their life as a result.
And that's the bottom line. I thank you for being here today. I look forward to you coming back. We've already discussed that we'll tape you again in December. Lots more to talk about, obviously, and we appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.